Caitlin Bristow hosts the hilarious, relatable, always honest, kind of feels like you're hanging out with your best friends podcast Off the Vine every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday episodes are interviews with guests like Wells Adams, Rachel Lindsay, Nikki Glasser, and Lisa Vanderpump to talk about everything from career to relationships to mental health. Thursday's episodes are called Grape Therapy, which are sometimes bachelor recaps, sometimes giving advice and hearing from listeners on the Vine hotline, or sometimes just catching up with a friend. Listen to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow wherever you get your podcast. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. All right, y'all, things are about to get intense. Like, we're staring into the eyes of our lifelong crush for a minute straight, intense. Intense heat, lasting plump from the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. It's formulated with chili pepper, delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. It's available in 8 sizzling shades. My favorite I've been wearing the past few days is the Blush Blaze. Y'all, this color is beautiful. But when I say the sensation is intense, it is. It feels like, in the best way possible, you rubbed a jalapeno all over your lips. So if you love that sensation, you are going to love this. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Seriously, y'all, like, this color is beautiful and the heat is piping. Hi, I'm Hannah Brown and welcome to Better Tomorrow. My absolute favorite thing to do is have a heart-to-heart talk with my new friends and my best friends, where we sit down and talk about all the things like relationships and love, faith and self-care. And of course, the little things as well, like the struggle to figure out what to eat tonight. All in all, I really want to ask, how am I better today than yesterday? And bring artists, entrepreneurs, and friends along on the journey. So join me on the journey, will you?
One of my friends in LA was like, your style's really getting better. And I was like, thank you so much. That means a lot to me.
I feel like that's been your goal for like the past 2 years. And like, you've really done it this past year. Like, yeah. Not for 2 years, but I feel like last year you were like, I want to work on my style. And you did in 2023. Well, but 2024, it's blooming, blossoming. You're here.
We're doing it.
You're doing it.
My word for 2024 is expand, and style is included in that.
Yes. Well, you're killing it.
Thank you very much.
And you look great. Don't worry.
Okay, back to the dunks.
Okay, yeah. So Adam got me some like really cool dunks for Christmas, and like, for most people it would be cool, but I don't think I'm a dunks person.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think you're a dunks person either.
Like, I was in there. I was in Uncommon. What is it called again? Uncommon Projects. What's it called? Is that what it's called?
I don't know the
Andrew?
Brand.
You don't know that place?
It's in Nashville?
Uncommon something. Yes, it's like a place where they have all the cool shoes. Like, you might like it.
Oh, I would probably really like it.
Yeah, it's in the mall. It's in the Green Hills Mall.
Oh, we gotta go. Come with us, Andrew.
Maybe I'm not. It's not, probably not even Uncommon Projects. I don't know. Maybe we should look that up. Impossible Kicks. What is Uncommon? Uncommon Projects. What is Uncommon Projects?
I don't know. Maybe it's a future brand name for you. I think it's kind of a cool name. Uncommon Projects like sounds
well.
Legit.
There's obviously Kristen Cavallari's Uncommon James, but like,
I didn't even connect those two.
But like, that's not what I was connecting. I was like, where? I have no idea. But it's called Impossible Kicks, and it's like, I felt intimidated in there because it was so cool. And I want to be that way. But actually, I don't know. I'm not like a sneak, but I will wear these.
These are cute. And these are with your style, I think.
Yeah. Why are these, though? Why I'm wearing like Adidas Sambas, but they're all like a neutral color, like kind of like a light eggshell and white. They're just basically white. A little beige in there. But like, why do these work? Because okay. They're slimmer, maybe?
No, I think when you wear Dunks, you wear them like well, you know? And not that you can't wear a Dunks well. You can wear anything well. But they're just not, they're more edgy. And you're more preppy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Adam was like, you can wear them with what you're wearing right now. And I was just wearing like black sweats and like a black sweatshirt. And yeah, that like a cool hat. And he was like, wear it like that. And I'm like, just like this? I don't know. It's weird. He's like, and just wear jeans and like a blazer and your Dunks. And I'm like, yeah, I guess.
But you have a really clear vision of your style. Like, you know what you like and you know what you don't like. And you also, when I tell you like, okay, I think this is my thing, you're like, no, this isn't you.
Yeah.
So I think you know if they're for you or not.
So there is one pair that if they come back in store and they have them, I do want these because they're neutral basically. Uh-huh. And like, ooh, have a cool texture to them. But they only had one size, and guess what freaking size it was?
Either 5 or 12.
That freaking 5.5. You little small feet bitches. Always.
If y'all have those 5.5 feet, give them to me.
Yeah.
I want them.
Jeez. But
I have classic size 8, always sold out or always $600.
Same. Mine are like 8.5, but we wear the same size mostly. Yeah.
Remember when you... Okay, so Hannah came to Europe to visit me this summer. I was there for like 2 months. And she texted me. She was like, hey, I'm packing. Did you forget anything? Because I got there a few weeks before she did. She's like, did you forget anything? And I was like, yeah, I forgot sandals. And Hannah was like, how did you forget sandals?
Like any type of sandal.
Like, I brought no sandal. I only brought actually Dunks.
Which to me, I'm like, Dunks in the summer with your sundresses. Like maybe like there's like 2 sundresses you can do that with. But like... You're having a European summer. You don't have any sandals?
So the way I packed was I was in Paris. I was in Mallorca, Spain, which is I should not have packed Dunks for Mallorca. That was totally incorrect. But I thought I'd be walking a lot. Like when you're in Europe, you walk. So I wanted to have comfortable shoes. Anyway, you brought me those sandals and I wore them. I basically took them over. I wore them the whole trip.
You did, but I loved it. It was fine. We hadn't even like, we just started going.
Yeah, we did.
But hi, y'all. This is so normal. Hi, y'all. Welcome back to Better Tomorrow. My best friend Nora's here. And we've been wanting to do a podcast together since the beginning of time. We actually like wanted to do it like fully together so that we're getting to like finally do this. It's so great.
Yeah.
And not only is Nora like my bestie, but she also like has so much knowledge. She's a life coach. She actually, how we met is really funny because we met because she was my life coach. But we just become like the best of best friends.
The best of best.
And we also like genuinely haven't seen each other in a few weeks. And so I feel like we just have to catch up on everything. So we're just going to do it with you guys. Cause like, I have so many questions. I walk in today and she's like, yeah, so I'm talking to this guy. And I'm like, and she's telling Andrew, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So we have a lot to
catch up on,
unpack, talk about.
I'm so excited. But
I'm just so excited we finally are doing this.
I know, same. Long time coming.
I know.
We kind of had busy life, like things changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
We're talking about Dunks. This is really important.
So obviously... you're a Dunks gal. You take them for a European summer.
Yeah.
Or I bring like 5 pairs of sandals and you have none and you have to wear some of mine.
Yeah.
So
that's how it works.
That's just how it is.
It's kind of like it's our friendship.
So that's the thing. I should just, if I really need Dunks for an outfit, I'll just.
You can borrow mine. I have a good classic black pair. I threw out a different pair.
Oh, okay.
That's he who must not be named gave me one of them.
Okay, that's what I just want to start with, because I walk in, you're talking about a guy. The last time, what happened? Well,
I think the last time we talked, I was like, yeah, I'm taking a break from dating.
Yeah, because... because I can't even, do you, can I say, can we, it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, we can say, yeah, you we went from dating, it. Like...
Yeah.
So you, since you've been in Nashville, wait, I don't even know how to start this. Okay. So you guys, I moved to Nashville like, you know, I don't even know how many months ago, almost a year at this point.
I think like April, right? Like yeah. You moved like the April month
of, yeah, of your birthday. Yeah. Like, yeah, I just moved. Uh-huh. And then Nora you've had such a crazy year.
Yeah, I've had a really hard
year. Our 2023 was a really hard year for Nora. Like, we both lived right down the street from each other in Santa Monica, and she had like this, you had like a sweet deal. Mm-hmm. And we're there for a little bit longer than, like, you kept saying, oh, maybe I'll move, maybe mm-hmm. I'll not. Cause it was like this, like, beautiful, like, studio back house of this really pretty house.
It was like a pool house of this, like, beautiful, beautiful house. Like, it was such a steal. So it was, I almost had like golden handcuffs because it was such an amazing house for a really good price. Mm-hmm. But I kept saying I wanted to travel, but I kept thinking I would wait to travel until I meet my person.
Yeah.
And then, long story short, oftentimes on the west side of LA, like near ocean cities, it's so moist in the air that houses end up getting black mold in the house. Yes. And the house I lived in, although it was beautiful and really nice, it was an older building. And we found black mold in the back wall of my closet. And I had been really sick for about 6 months, and I couldn't figure out why. I started getting a ton of hormonal acne. I stopped getting my period. I was getting major headaches. And every doctor I went to, I got an MRI. Everyone was like, your brain looks fine. Everything looks okay. We think this is just stress. And so I stopped drinking coffee. I started praying more and meditating more. And we couldn't figure it out until we found the black mold in basically a place where my house cleaners couldn't clean. And so I thought it was just like a cobweb, but we couldn't clean it off.
That was the funniest thing when you tell – I remember you like calling me like, yeah, like I was like going through my stuff and there was just like this black stuff on my shoes that wouldn't come off. And I'm like, oh. And she's like, yeah, it's just black all in my closet. I was like, oh my God.
It was – really bad. Like, the numbers are, because I've, now that I've shared this on social media, a lot of people have messaged me. Mm-hmm. Like, I have had black mold, I'm sick, I have the same symptoms. But unfortunately, my numbers were pretty astronomical. And so, whew, that was a journey. But
they had to tear down the whole place.
They tore down my entire house. I had to throw out everything I own. It was very humbling. It was very hard to one day wake up and find out you're not only sick in your body, but you have to throw out everything in your own home and you have to move out within 2 weeks. So when that first happened, it was really interesting. My brain was like, what the heck? But my body felt so calm mm-hmm. because I had been praying about
you wanted to travel
and about traveling. And I was like, okay, God, we could have done this a little bit nicer, but I see the message loud and clear. And I believe, like, when God or whatever you spiritually believe is wanting to talk to you, I think at first it's like a little nudge, and then it's like a, you know, maybe a little pebble, and then a bigger rock, and then it's a freaking boulder. And mine was a boulder.
Yeah.
It was a big, like, time to get up, time to change, time to move. So long story short, I thought I was going to do this really cute travel year. And I thought that...
Which you did a travel summer.
Yeah, I did Europe. I did Alaska. Went back to LA for a while. Then came to Nashville for Hannah's podcast launch party.
Yes.
And then secretly, I knew Adam was proposing. So she didn't know that. But I was staying for that. So I was planning on staying for about a month and a half. Mm-hmm. And then I got really sick from the mold. I thought it would just like detox naturally. But it didn't. I started getting like worse and worse. There was a point where I was staying with Adam and Hannah, and there was a point where Adam came up upstairs into the guest room, and he was like, hey, like, I just wanted to make sure, like, are you comfortable here? Like, are we making you feel comfortable enough? And I know Hannah sent him up because Hannah probably knew I would, like, I don't know. I was just saying, yeah, I'm fine. But having Adam come up, I knew it was more serious. And right when he said that to me, I looked at him and I was like, Adam, I'm so comfortable. I'm just sick. And I started crying. And then there was another point when you were like, I just want you to feel better. And I was like, Hannah, I feel bad that you feel bad that I feel bad, but I can't stop feeling bad. Like, I am really sick. So I've done this whole detox protocol. I'm working with this amazing doctor. I finally feel a lot better. I got my period back. My hormonal acne is basically gone, and it was really bad. And so I officially decided, I thought I was just going to stay in Nashville for like 6 months to heal. And about a month ago, I was praying and thinking and like looking at other cities I might want to live in. And I was like, Nashville feels like home. It's close to my family, close to Han. Like, it's, I've met a lot of really wonderful people for my work. Like, it's, it just feels like home.
I am so proud of you. And I really admire, and I've told you this, like, I feel like you really went more full in to even Nashville than I have. Like, you, but maybe you had to like, I think
that's
kind of
our pattern.
But that's also our pattern.
That's our pattern. Hannah always like kind of hesitates on things. And I like, I will dive into water that I'm not sure even if it's water. And then sometimes it is, and sometimes it's oil. And I'm like, oh shit, we got to clean this up.
Yeah, but you've done, like, you really have like fully done it. Like, there's so much in Nashville. Like, oh yeah, I've been here. I've done this. I'm like, what? You've dated so many people.
Oh yeah, back to that.
But that's how we got here. Yeah. Like,
I've dated two guys since I've been here. Both of them have been really wonderful, but, and very, very, very adamant about me. Like, very, like, they want to be with me. And that was cool at first until I got to know a couple major red flags.
They were just polar opposites.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just really funny. Like, the first guy, like, super, like, I would say, like, more Southern.
Very Southern.
It was,
he would never wear dunks, ever. He was so proud of his, like, Vineyard Vines style, which was cool. I was down. I was
which
like,
was awesome.
Yeah, I was like, okay, cool. I'm happy for him to be happy about his vibe.
Yeah. And then to, like, this polar opposite guy who...
who was also really cool.
Really cool.
It was a cool guy. And I found some stuff out about him that was not ideal.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How is your social battery right now? Because mine has been a little drained. I feel like it's because, honestly, this weather here in Nashville, I feel like I haven't seen the sun that much. And I'm just needing a little bit more time outside, some more walks, just being more social, not just as cooped up. And it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? For me, I actually need to be a little bit more social. So I get excited and then can overwhelm myself a little bit too much with all the plans that I've had. But maybe you need a little bit less time and need some time to yourself to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tomorrow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tomorrow. There have been many times in my life where I really thought I could trust my gut, but I definitely shouldn't have. Definitely with a lot of those exes in the past, when it comes to that low fuel flashing light on my car, I just always think that it's not really serious. Trust me, it is. I've been on the side of the road way too many times. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. Ritual has made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome, all in one minty capsule and no refrigeration needed. I love my Symbiotic Plus. I take it every day. It's great because it's got all the biotics in it for my probiotic. I feel like it's just really helping my gut in all the ways. And actually, Ritual even invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed that Symbiotic Plus significantly increased the microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. We love that. We love when the thing's actually doing the work that we need it to for our gut. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/HannahB. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/HannahB for 25% off. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner advanced rides, feel-good DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride, perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. I love my Peloton bike. I've had one since 2020, and I feel like it really got me through some of those dark days and kept me active. I love the instructors. They get me so hype when they have like awesome, awesome soundtracks that really just keep the fun, the excitement up as we're sweating it out and getting better every day. Wherever you're starting, get moving with Peloton Bike or Bike Plus Rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. So the reason you broke up, yeah, why this is so
share.
Funny,
let's just share.
Is the reason that she broke up with the first guy to then end up with
the second guy. Okay, so this is what happened. Got to Nashville. I was sick. I was like, ugh, I need to focus on healing. A few months into healing, I was starting to feel better. So I was like, you know what? Like, I had taken a full year off of dating because I was in a really long-term relationship with a guy for about 4 years. And after I ended that relationship.
But you went into, I was going to say, let's not say you.
It was like a year and a half, break up for 3 months, get back together for like 6 months, break up for a week, get back together for a year. Like, it was that type of relationship, which sucked. And I could talk so much about how much I learned.
Yeah.
Because, man, like, when you're in it, you're in it. And it's hard to see out of it. I always say a bottle can't see its own label.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're inside your own patterns, your own trauma bonds, your own triggers, it's hard to see it, but your best friend can see it. And Hannah saw it. Hannah does not like my ex.
Well, I never met him.
You never met him?
I never met him, Nora.
When we first met,
you were going through, that was like the
breakup. But that took a while.
Yeah.
The final countdown.
Yeah. And he, that was like kind of his thing though. He didn't like.
Yeah.
He was a very like focused on work and then like you. But
that was one of our biggest problems. Yeah. It was like I was really playful and fun. And I was really attracted to the fact that he owned a really successful business and was really dedicated to it. Mm-hmm. But come on, like, we need to have some fun.
But when we met, you had just like broken up. Like the breakup had happened. So that's why the back and forth was happening. But it wasn't like you never like were together long enough, I feel like, to bring in friends.
Exactly. That when we met, it was we broke up, but then we'd be friends and we'd go on a walk and then like one thing led to another. Yeah. And then we'd like think everything was good for a month and then we'd see. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you started dating like the van guy.
That was the dunks, dude. So, okay.
That was the dunks.
Yeah, that's who gave me dunks.
That's who gave you dunks.
Yeah, let's call him van guy. And then guy before him, boring guy, but long-term relationship guy. So long-term relationship guy was wonderful, but just super boring. Like our chemistry, fill in the blanks with what that means.
Well, he's unavailable.
Yeah, he was emotionally unavailable. And he is avoidant. I am anxious. I have worked a lot on it to become a lot more secure. So emotionally we're really connected, but physically not connected at all. Mm-hmm. And after years, I was like, I don't think I can. Yeah, that was hard for me. Mm-hmm. But so finally broke up with him. Finally. And then like a few weeks later, met this van life dude who was the exact opposite. Who like.
I was there the night she met.
Oh yeah. And he actually hit on you first.
He hit on me first. And I was like, he's attractive.
He's a cute guy, just unique.
Yeah, what would you say? What is his background?
He's Costa Rican. Is that
I don't know.
No. He's Nicaraguan and Palestinian. Half.
He's a very like good looking guy.
Honestly, he's hot.
Yeah, because he had that bad boy swag.
Oh, like he drove a motorcycle. We'd ride on his motorcycle all the time and like our chemistry was through the my poor parents when they met him must have been shitting their pants. Like, our daughter, what is she doing?
I remember thinking we went to, was it Delilah's or something? Was that where it was?
We went to Delilah.
That you met him at Delilah. Okay.
It's so not me.
No, like, we don't ever go out, first of all.
Never.
And we went out and this guy's there and his like whole friend group. Oh, remember his freaking friend group didn't buy us the freaking drink?
No, his friend.
Oh my God.
His friend was like, what do you guys want to drink? And like, we walked in this club, like, that's what you do. You expect men to buy you drinks. That's just kind of how it works. And so we walk in and the first dude is like, what do you guys want to drink? Like, kind of hitting on us a little bit. We were just talking, small talk, and we're hitting on Annie. And Annie was like, tequila for everyone. So he orders tequila. He orders like 8 shots of tequila at an expensive club and then walks away with us to pay for it. And Annie was like, nah. So then van life guy came in and tried to like make the situation better. And I think van life guy probably paid for it, I would guess.
I don't remember. I feel like...
I can't remember.
I don't know. I don't remember. But I just remember being so pissed about that. I'm like, I didn't even freaking want the tequila. Like, I'm not paying for this.
Yeah, no. And then me and van life guy, he wanted to like keep hanging out that night. And I was like, no, I'm going home. But we ended up FaceTiming till 4 in the morning talking about everything under the sun. So that was a fun relationship.
But I just... But you were like... Yeah, I think I'm in love with him. Yeah. I was like, what?
And I was also like.
Which I do think you fell for him.
Well,
for
I was
sure.
A fish out of water. I had been in a dynamic with a guy who was just like so kind, so safe, but so not right for me for so long that it just felt good to feel alive again in my heart, you know?
Yeah. And then that was a wild ride.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he.
He what was, are you about to say?
Well, he freaking like just would do like shady stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So the reason I broke up with him, I fell for him like head over heels. Like who knows if that was lust or love, but I really fell for him. And then, yeah, he would like girls would text him and he'd kind of like hide it from me. And I was like, dude, like, I didn't say dude. I said, van life man, I want you to know that anyone that you've dated up until we became exclusive, like, I will never judge you for that or shame you for that or hold that over your head. Like, I'm actually grateful for those women that you were with because they, like, your experience with them brought you to me. Mm-hmm. And I think any relationship is kind of like a key into a door. And, like, the right key has certain divots in it. And so your past are the divots to us meeting. Like, I'm really grateful for it. But while we're exclusive, like, I do need you to be honest with me. I'm not down for this weird, shady, like, hiding stuff. Like, your body language is, like...
You're just kind of, like...
It was sketchy.
Giving liar vibes. But well, I'm not... I don't want to call him that. But, yeah, kind of.
No, he totally was. I think he's a pathological liar. I'm not sure. Who knows? But I cut that out pretty quick after that.
Yeah. But that was, like, hot and heavy. So, after that, you didn't really date.
After that, I kind of had a come to Jesus moment. I was like, okay, Nora, you have basically been in a relationship since you were 16. From one man to another. It's time for you to... Like, how do you say it? Like, walk what you preach?
Oh,
live what you preach?
I like that.
That's definitely not the same.
It's walk what you talk.
Yeah. Walk, talk what you walk.
Is that it?
Walk what you talk? Oh, walk the walk of what you talk?
Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk.
Walk the walk. I was like, it's basically time to like follow my own rules. Because for those of you that don't know, I was a professional matchmaker for 5 years in New York and LA to a lot of celebrities and CEOs and public figures. And then after a few years of that, I was like, this is not the solution to my clients' problems. There's 8 billion people in the world. It's not a lack of matches. These clients actually need to know what their patterns are in relationships and how to learn how to love themselves, learn how to be authentic to themselves in relationship with others. And so I was like, okay, girl, we have been helping other people find love, get married. I have so many marriages I can't even like count. And also just women learning how to truly love themselves. It's time for you to learn how to truly love yourself. And it's time for you to learn how to be alone. Because I think part of learning how to love yourself is not needing someone to tell you they love you for you to feel good about yourself. So I took an entire year off of dating, which was really hard at first. Like, it almost felt like I was like a kid in a candy shop when I would like go to the gym and like see men. I was just like, oh my gosh, like he's so cute. I want to talk to him. But I really like men who would ask me out, I'd say, at first it was going to be 6 months. So I'd say like in 6 months, mm-hmm. I can go out with you, but not now. And then it just ended up being longer because it honestly felt so good to find myself and be with myself and yeah, walk my walk.
I think you were also just going through so much.
And then
too.
I was sick. Yeah. 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 So
but then you got back to it.
So then I got back to it. And honestly, we still had some bumps.
It was like when you were saying
were
that,
different.
It was like kind of different. And you were it was a lot easier for you to cut them off
yeah.
and to like move forward.
Yeah.
But I think like after almost
van life
guy, we went to like Southern Man.
Yes.
And I think
then was Nashville.
Because that was, yeah, here in Nashville, like your first like guy that you
yeah.
really liked. But
I really liked him.
I think you're trying to figure out your pendulum swing.
Yes. My dad said that to me yesterday.
No way.
Yes, he did. He was like, you kind of have a pattern.
Because you went like
boring guy,
boring to like
van life.
And then Southern
really
Man
Southern.
Like is kind of going back to the pendulum. And then this next guy like also. So like you're getting there, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, so I met this guy that I'm talking to last week.
Yeah, what the crap?
He's like really in the middle. So we'll see. He's new, but I told him, he was like, can I listen to the podcast? And I was like, I might talk about a British guy that I have a crush on. So if you're okay with that.
Okay, wait.
And
so
he was like, I would love that.
When did you meet? We have not talked to each other.
In
because
like 5 days. No,
no.
It's been like
since
week.
Like, I mean, we've like, no, we really haven't talked since.
Since
we haven't
New
seen
Year's.
Each other since
oh,
New
well,
Year's.
Oh, your grandpa.
Yeah.
Your dog. Have
yeah,
you
we just
that?
Had a, no, I haven't.
I think we need to.
Yeah, so I haven't really seen Nora is, well, first of all, it was like the holidays, but my grandfather and dog died on New Year's Eve. And like found out they were getting sick like a few days before. And that was like, my dog I found out was getting really sick a few days before, but my grandfather has been sick.
Yeah.
Like, since before I got engaged, like got, gosh, like he's older or he was older. He was 87, but he like had like this like ulcer bust in his stomach. And then like basically after that, like never was able to get up again. He also already had a hard time walking. So like once he
this
got.
This is your dog?
No, my.
Oh, this is your grandpa?
My grandpa.
Oh my gosh.
So. That's
oh,
why
Hannah.
He was like in the nursing home. My mom had been, my parents live in Tuscaloosa, but moved to like her small town where she's from, Mentone, Alabama, which is like 200 people. She moved there to be closer to him and like to be able to take care of like the house there. And for like 3 months, she had not been home back to our house in Tuscaloosa. Mm. So had Christmas up there, was able to see him a lot, which was great. But, you know, it was still sad to, like, see him not doing that great. And he just believed, like, oh, if I could just walk, I'd be better. And it's like, you're not – he's – like, the sad part was, like, he was never going to be able to probably
yeah.
walk again. And so, like, he was already – it was hard to see that type of life. Like,
yeah. It's
he doesn't
it's
have
so
much
painful.
Of a life. And he's so – he was in so much pain. So, like, had been preparing ourselves
yeah.
that it – he probably wouldn't be around for a long time, but I didn't. Death is so interesting because even when you know it's coming, it's still like shocking.
Brene Brown talks about that.
Yeah.
To people who get the phone call, whatever that phone call is, no matter if you're expecting the phone call or if it's a phone call like, hey, there was a car accident. And she asks these people because I think so often, It's interesting. Anytime we have a lot of joy, joy is also a really vulnerable feeling, mm-hmm. which is interesting because a lot of people don't realize that. People think like vulnerability is being open or honest or sharing about something you're insecure about. But having a lot of joy and a lot of happiness is also very vulnerable because very often right after you feel joy or happiness or just like so grateful or lucky to love someone or any of those good feelings, oftentimes right after that emotion is fear of losing them.
We literally watched A Call to Courage two nights ago.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, she talked about this.
I was actually there live. I'm such a Brene Brown, like,
oh my gosh,
fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when she talks about this of like, okay, people who have gotten that phone call, like the phone call you got, I was with mm-hmm. you on New Year's Eve when you got it. She asked them, is there anything you could have done to prepare yourself for this? And every single person says no. Like, mm-hmm. even if you know it's coming, it still sucks.
Yeah.
That's just a hard, hard, hard experience.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that I was able to spend the time with him before. But then, like, those few days before New Year's were really hard because it was like, oh gosh, what's happening? And then also not knowing fully how I needed to show up for my mom in that way of like waiting for her to kind of, and like not just her, but like the family that was there, like, okay, what do I need to do? And they were shocked how he just, like, even she was just shocked that it just like happened as kind of as quickly as it did. Yeah. But what sucked, honestly, like our dog, our family golden retriever that we've, that has been like the dog that like just like finished our family, like died that morning before my grandfather. And like, you know, you always want your dog to like comfort you.
Yeah.
And so that was just like, the dog really, really got me.
It's a double whammy.
It was just a double whammy. And so I just haven't been like the best mentally from that. And then on top of that was I've started some like pretty intense therapy.
Yeah, you have.
Like, oh my gosh. But, and I kind of was worried about
therapy.
It. Good, for sure. But the therapist, you know, obviously we didn't know everything was going to happen and we had already planned, scheduled these sessions. Yeah. And she was like, well, like you can be like, we could wait, or you're at the bottom right now. So we know all you have is up. So why don't we just like do all the hard work right now since you're already here?
Yeah.
I was like, so it has been really hard, but I've already learned so much. I've been to a lot of therapy and a lot, done a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this has been, it just, I'm like just so tired. Like I've just been so tired of being in the like suck that I've been in for like a few years.
You've been in it.
I've been like really in it, but I think I've had a lot of people trying to help, but haven't really fully gotten the help that I needed.
Yeah.
And I really do believe I'm getting like the help that I need right now.
I think you are too. I think this therapist is really good. I also think that the only way passes through.
Yeah.
And
I think
you're going through.
I'm going through. I think I've been saying I've been going through, which I have, but I'll like toe in and then I'll be like, oh, that's too much. I'm going to have to pull back.
Yes.
And then I'll get stable. I'm like, okay, I think I can go back into it now. And I'll go in. I'm like, whoa, that was really dark, really hard. I'll be in it. And then I pull back out. And now I'm like committed to like, I'm just going to like feel all this. Yes. And she actually wanted me to watch A Call to Courage again to talk specifically about what you were just talking about, that like if you're so scared of your sadness, if you can't won't allow yourself to feel like your full feelings of like sadness, you're never gonna like feel the full feelings of joy. And
totally.
I feel like I've been like really scared of the sadness that I have because I do struggle with it, but I hate like admitting that.
Yeah.
But then I just get stuck in it. And so our biggest thing, which I haven't really talked to you fully about, but like her being like, you have so much shame around your sadness.
Oh.
She's like,
wow.
You have so much shame around being sad and feeling it.
Wow.
And what that means about you. And I have a lot of stuff with my grandmother. Like she was like really, you know, really suicidal my mom's whole life and how what that did to how my mom views sadness.
Yeah.
And so then me being sad, like there's just a lot of shame in that.
Yeah, that passed down.
And then feeling like fear of like, oh, I'm going to be like her. Like,
oh, wow.
And so I've just struggled with that for a long time. And it was interesting. Like we started going to therapy for like couples therapy, but it's been really eye-opening.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to not like allow myself to be sad, but like honestly, like not trying to push it away and just being like, right now I've been pretty sad the past 2 weeks, probably my whole life, but like the last 2 weeks with everything happening has been really freaking tough.
and I haven't ever known how to say like what I need. And I'm like, oh, that's why I don't know. I don't know what I need.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to figure that out right now. And I'm doing a lot of just like intense work. So that's where I've been.
Which is a good place to be,
I guess. It sucks.
Well, because it's how you get past
it. It's how I'm healing. Yeah. I'm like totally like
of course
in
it sucks.
Right yeah. now.
But also,
and it's taught me a lot about like, I wanted to talk to you about this because I was like, oh my gosh, like how much I've learned about like my friendships and stuff and how thankful I am for you as a friend.
Oh, and the people that I was about to say like, oh wait, I'm nervous.
No, like, and the friends that have really like been there for me, like, wow, like I haven't always been the best friend as far as being able to communicate. And I've talked to my therapist about that of like, I just feel like I'm very avoidant, mm-hmm. very avoidant. And one of the things I realized is because I'm so ashamed of my sadness, sometimes I feel like I have to hide. And if you feel like you have to hide a certain part of yourself, and that started like, well, and I've kind of pinpointed where that all started, like from when I was younger, my parents used to fight a lot and like how that affected me and how that made me like draw back. Cause like, if you're going to be friends and like share with someone, but you feel like you have to hide something, there's only a certain amount that you can actually like really get close and connect with the person. And I'm also not good at faking it. So like, I'm not going to fake it. No. So I'm just going to hide.
Yeah.
And you're that's why run. I'm so avoidant. Mm-hmm. But like with friendships for me, because I'm so like, the sadness is like there, but I'm so like embarrassed by it and feel like people don't want to see that or want to accept that. That's why I like, I'll pull away. Yeah. And you'll always say like, she's like, yeah, I haven't heard from you for a little while. So I knew it was probably like something was going on. And I do that because I'm like, oh, well, people don't want to be friends with somebody that is like, yeah, like sad or like a bummer. Cause I'll be like, I don't like that energy in my life. Like I was in therapy, but like, I don't want people around that in my life. Like I don't like that. And she was like, yeah, you don't, because you hate that part of yourself so much that when you feel people like that, you're like, uh-uh, get away from me. And so it just like all clicked of like, oh wow, this is why I do that. Or like why I don't let people in because I'm scared. Like if I let people in, then I have to be like, oh yeah, you think I'm this one way, but I'm actually, which then the whole other top of like public, like life and perception of like who I am and being like, I am not that way at all. I actually have all these layers. And so I'm like, I'll have like a great interaction with a friend or like a person I like. I'll be like, oh, I think I could be friends with them. But I'm like, oh, I'm not actually going to let them be my friend though.
Totally.
It's so interesting. So like you being able to like stick through that and like us be able to like have these type of conversations.
We've had a lot of tough conversations about
that. We do.
Like I remember the first time I called you out, I was like, I was so uncomfortable, but I was like, because we had become really close. Like at that point, I considered you one of my best friends. It was one of the first times that you really went cold.
Yeah.
On me.
I forgot what that was
about. I can't remember
about.
Exactly when it was, but it was, I'm sure you were going through something.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I can be as close to her as I am right now if she disappears like this, because that just brings up my shit where I was going in my head, like, did I say something that she didn't like?
Yeah.
Like, did I do something wrong? Like, but we've been really good at navigating those difficult conversations with a lot of love and a lot of kindness and a lot of safety. And every time you were like, no, this is about me, which was healing for me too, because then my anxious attachment would be like, oh, all of these stories I was coming up around like, oh, did I do something wrong? Had nothing to do with me. This is about Hannah. And then it was also me learning how to, because I when I hear that, then I'm like, well, I want to be able to support you. Like, I want to be able to come over when you're not feeling good. But also for me learning how to accept you as you are. So like when you aren't doing well and you also don't want me to come over to help you when you're not doing well.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just going to sit in this by myself.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. Like I used to be like, well, why can't I help her? Like I would help any person that I know is like going through something hard. But accepting you and saying like, okay, she's going to go through her process and really giving it to God. Like that's like, it's like we think we're in control and we're just not. Like be there for a friend, like love your friend, I will always be there for you. And when you can't have people around you at that time, I'm like, okay, I trust that this is for her. She's learning from this. She's growing. She's supported. And I also trust that when you really do need me, you'll call.
Yeah. And I think I'm trying right now learning. You really helped me see that pattern in myself, but then to really like figure out where it came from. It's like, oh, like I'm literally so ashamed of my sadness. Yeah. And I want to hide that. But then, okay, this is how I've coped with that. And that's why pushing people away. But what do I actually need from people? Because I don't even know what's, yeah. That's why I don't say anything or don't want you to come over, because I don't even know what I need.
Yeah.
So like I'm in the process of like, what do I need in these situations? Because probably being by myself and isolating and not answering anybody and doing my spiral.
Eating ice cream.
Maybe not the best way, but it's been the way that like I was able to survive yeah. younger, like when I was younger, yeah. that's how I did that. And I feel like there's a new way and I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I think the way that our relationship and our friendship has worked is because we've been able to at least like have the conversation of like.
Have tough conversations.
Yeah. And I feel like I've, patterns, I'll have conversations with you.
No, Hannah, you will call me out in a really loving way.
Yeah. Just.
Actually, the biggest one we had from you talking to me about it was.
Oh my gosh. When was that? It
was this past summer.
Was it when spring. We were in?
No, it was like January Portugal. Last year. Oh, I remember.
You said, because you say it's like before conversation, like.
It's like BC, AC. for me personally, because again, I have a lot of great friends, but some of my friends like only give me positive love. And they won't call out my shadow. They won't call out my shit. And Hannah does. And I also do that with you too. And I'm so grateful to not just have like a friend who's my shadow. Mm-hmm. I want a friend who's my mirror. Like I want a yeah. friend who's like, yo, did you see the way that's happening? And I know that the mirror is out of love. It's not mm-hmm. a mirror to hurt me or judge me or criticize me. It's a mirror because you love me so much. You're like, hey, like.
I didn't know how to support you.
Yeah, you literally said that to me.
I was like, I don't know. Because as friends, I think we want to be able to like get on board with whatever is happening. Like, I'm like, I want you to be happy. So like, if we're happy doing this, like game on.
Like, dating van life, man. Yeah, like, okay. No, you said that too. Because I was like, I'm not quite sure. It was like the first red flag that came up and I decided to stay with him.
Yeah.
The first one. And Hannah was like, okay, I'm on board. Like, we can do this. And I was like, okay. But then after a couple more red flags, I made my own decision to end things.
Yeah.
But that one was big. It was basically me saying I wanted to be a certain way, like show up in the world in a certain way. And I wasn't. Like, I kept, like, not following through on my word. And you literally said to me, you said, I don't know how to... You said, I don't know if I can be, kind of same thing I said to you. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I can be this close to you when you have this pattern. Like, it's hard for mm-hmm. me. You said, I don't know if I can support you and be as close to you when I see you living your life in a way that I know you don't want to live. It gives me chills and it makes me emotional because, like you said, you're grateful for me. Hannah, I'm so grateful for you because mm-hmm. you care that much about me that you had such an uncomfortable conversation and stood so strong. Because you love me. Mm-hmm. I know that wasn't easy for you to do, but it truly
no, because I avoided you for yeah, a few days.
Yeah, you avoided me for a couple days. And I was like, where is Hannah?
Yeah, probably not just a couple days, probably a couple weeks. I was yeah. just like, I knew I had something I had to talk yeah. to you about that would like, but I didn't know
how.
Yeah. And then we finally like had a conversation. Yeah. But from those two big conversations that we've had, like, and we've both done our own work. Now we can still, like, in a loving way, be like, oh, yeah. you're doing that yeah. thing. Yeah. Or, oh, I know you're avoiding me. And I know there's something going on, but I love you anyway. And I'm like, you just said you wanted to be an astronaut, a pilot, and live in Italy. I don't know how you're going to do all these things. I think we should talk about that. We should figure out which one, but I love you.
And
it's, yeah.
And also, like, what are you avoiding? Because, yeah. like, when I, like, my, like, you avoid kind of by isolation. I avoid by, by jumping in, like by doing way too many things at once.
Yeah.
And being way too busy. And both of those, I remember my first coach, it was a career coach I worked with in New York. It was when I was a matchmaker and I was trying to decide what I wanted to do next. And she helped me, like she totally changed my life. She opened up like this realization of that I could have a career in coaching. And it's just like, I love my job so much and I love my clients. And so I'm super grateful for her. So she called me on my birthday last year. And she was like, I hadn't heard from her in years. Like we worked together like when I was 24 or something. But she called and she was like, how are you? And I was like, oh my gosh, her name's Becky. And I was like, Becky, you'll never guess. Like my business is really successful. Like I'm helping all these people and I love it and it's growing and it's expanding. And this is what I'm doing next. And she was like, And I thought she'd just say like, congratulations. But she was quiet and she was like, do you mind if I ask you a question? And I said, yeah. And she said, what are you running from? And I was like, excuse me? Like everyone else has been like, yay, Nora. And she's like, this sounds like a lot. You haven't even taken a breath. And like you had one success and then you went to the next and then you went to the next. What are you running from? And I said, I mean, I immediately started crying and I was like, I don't know. And that night, it was my birthday in Angel's backyard. All my best friends had done all wonderful things for me. And I was so dissociated the whole time because I have such a hard time receiving. I used to. I was really good at giving, but it was so uncomfortable for me to receive love or compliments from friends or just like, you guys made such a beautiful like array of food and we had the little teepee. I was so uncomfortable that whole night until everyone left. And then finally, the answer to that question of like, what are you running from? I felt this deep sadness, like really deep. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I have not sat with this. Like, I don't know what this version of myself is to touch this level of sadness. And so that was a big focus of mine was like, when the emotion comes, like, feel it. It's kind of like an orgasm. Like, like you don't want to stop an orgasm from coming. Like, let it come, literally. But same with sadness. Like, Brene Brown says it takes 90 seconds to feel an emotion fully and then it passes. But most people spend a decade avoiding that emotion or running away from that emotion or their whole life. And they'll avoid it by avoiding other people or traveling a lot or working a lot or drinking a lot, whatever it is that helps them like not touch those emotions. But yeah, I think we kind of both have that sadness in different ways, but.
Where are my engaged girls? Congrats. You're engaged. So am I. Now you may be like me wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can get designs, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. Zola has created everything you need to make the whole process super easy. And hopefully actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on the couch. Look, I have just now opened the can of worms of all that is wedding planning, but I'm so thankful for Zola because it can help make wedding planning so much easier for all of us engaged girlies. We need to be having fun. We need to be excited. It doesn't need to be a stressful process. And I feel like Zola can really help us engaged girlies enjoy this time of our life because we are celebrating the love that we have created and this beautiful new chapter in our life. And we do not need to be crying over napkins and invitations. So Zola's got us covered. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Today is about looking for new ways to better ourselves. But sometimes that means looking in a totally different place or even a different state. In South Dakota, travel is transformative. It's good for the soul. It's the kind of place to just let go, to escape from routine and predictability of life, to put down the phone and pick up a sense of adventure and to see the world a little bit differently, as in not through our screen. Life in South Dakota is about unplugging from it all and connecting with the world around you. It's about being open to real surprises and treating your senses to a real, raw, natural beauty that doesn't need a filter. Whether you're exploring the mountains and trees of the Black Hills, hiking through the Badlands, navigating the wild towns, or camping under the stars, South Dakota is the place to get a little lost and find yourself along the way. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com. I'm really glad that we have like a friendship that we're both doing it. Yeah. It's like how hard I feel like I'm so grateful to have like not only just you, but like a partner that's also doing that work for the first time. So like if you have like I have like my best friend and then my partner in life doing this, there's a lot of people that like want to do the work, but they have like no support at all. Mm-hmm. And how hard that is. And I'm just so I've been trying to work on gratitude. It's sometimes hard when you're like so deep in the sadness. Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, like this gratitude journal is not working.
It is bullshit.
That's where I've been. I'm like, this gratitude journal is bullshit right now. Okay. But I can see just like how grateful I am to be able to have like really solid friendships. And then like a solid, like, even though mine and Adam's relationship is not perfect, but like I have somebody I can look at that's also doing the work and is in it with me.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't have that.
Yeah. And for people listening, if you're like, oh, I am doing the work and I don't have support around me, there's so many people doing the work and
that don't. Yeah.
One thing that has always helped me is realizing that we don't attract what we want, we attract what we are. So if you're doing the work, you will eventually attract people who are doing the work. You'll eventually attract people who are open and vulnerable and have tough conversations with their best friends and aren't just fake. Because I used to be very fake with my friendships. I was very much like, I mean, not that I'm proud of it. I was on autopilot. I didn't know anything else. I was such a people pleaser, and people pleasers come from parent pleasers. I was such a parent pleaser. And that was my survival mechanism. I didn't know any better. I'm not judging myself for that at all. I'm loving my little girl that used that to keep me safe. And my friendships mirrored those same dynamics where I would just please my friends and tell them. Like, I remember one of my friends was like, you're going to have wine, right? And like, I like don't really love drinking. I've never really loved drinking. But I would just like have the wine because I wanted her to be happy. And I would eat the cheese even though I'm lactose intolerant because I wanted my friends to like be able to eat the cheese. Like, that's crazy to do something for people that love you by hurting yourself in the process. And so when I finally woke up to my patterns with that, my friendships completely shifted. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't easy. That was really hard. But it didn't shift because I was judging them or they were judging me or I was thinking I was better or different. It was just like, hey, you like to live life that way. And I am actually learning, if I'm being authentic myself, I like to not drink that much and I like to read books and I like to do other things, but I had to do that journey of finding out who I was to know how I could show up authentically in friendship. So for people listening who are like, oh, I'm in the shit, I'm in the messy middle and I'm all alone, the more you embrace who you really are and show the world who that is, the more you're just without effort, you're just going to attract people. Because I didn't try to attract you. Like, it wasn't like I was like, let me find a friend. Like, just like, okay, I'm going to stand up for who I am. This is uncomfortable. It's scary. I feel lonely. But I know there's 8 billion people in the world. I know there's other women out there who want to have safe, kind, supportive friendships and not judge me or not put me down or not make me feel small.
Yeah. But we also like, that's like how it starts. Like, you're going to start attracting different things. But also, I just want to say, like, we've both been working on this for a long time.
Oh, wow.
And we're just still
here.
We're still here.
I think the journey's been fun.
I'm like, ask me in a couple of months if it's been fun. Wow, we got into like.
Yeah, we got deep.
We got deep, but I still haven't found out about this guy.
The British guy?
The British guy.
I told you, I was like, I'm taking a break from dating. Like, that was a lot. Like, I just want to focus on my business and my life and just like loving life. Because when we love life, love comes to us, right? So did that, like, was just focusing on myself. And then weirdly, when my parents were in town and I was like moving into the new building that I moved into and thinking about 2024 and thinking about really what I want, It's funny that I've been a matchmaker, and as a coach, I help a lot of people in their relationship life, as well as mainly their confidence and their relationship with themselves. It's weird that I've never, like, myself prayed to God about what I want. I have my clients do it. I have my clients write the list, everything. But it's so funny that I can help other people with things that sometimes are harder for me. And my parents were in town. I was like, I was just watching their love and seeing their love. And I was like, I want that. I claimed it. Like, I really want that. And I really want that in 2024. Mm-hmm. Other times I've said I want love. It's more kind of like a Barbie dream. Like, I want love. Woo. Like, but I wasn't grounded in it. I wasn't ready to receive it. I think I was actually afraid to receive real love. But I said a prayer and I was like, God, like, I give this to you. Like, I'm not in control of this, and I'm going to give this fully to you. And I said really what I'm hopeful for. And then that night I downloaded Hinge, and who knows? I've known this guy for a week. Like, we really don't know, but I actually told him this story. And I matched with him, and he said the exact same thing. He's like, Nora, like, he actually went to a matchmaker a few weeks ago and said, and he was like, you are everything I said I want.
Oh, that's so
sweet. I know. So, like, but we're also being very honest with each other. Like, we've known each other literally for a week. So it's cool. Like, we're getting to know each other. We have values that are really, really similar. But we'll see where it goes. Okay, so about him, he is. What, do you want to know?
Yeah, I want to know. Does he live here?
Yeah, he lives. Dude,
okay. He lives here, like,
Hannah.
I thought you were like talking to some guy. Like,
no,
actually,
no. Like, that's after. So wait, after we met, God. Like, after our first date, I was like,
what? Well, you're going on a date.
Yeah, no, we went on a date.
I thought you were just talking on, like,
no. That's when I texted you, like, hey, I'm going to be near your house. I can stop by after. I didn't say date because I didn't want to like jinx myself, I guess. So I just was going to stop by after to tell you. But you didn't respond, bitch.
okay. I think I was in a...
my feeling your right feelings.
I hate this.
And I understood that. So I was like, whatever.
Yeah, probably was doing that exact thing.
So, yeah, I was literally thinking, okay, how am I in Nashville? And I match with a British man who...
We literally were talking about how much we love...
England. And he's... so, like, his accent, it makes me melt.
Oh, my gosh.
He's so cute. So he moved to Nashville 3 years ago. He's the CEO of a company, and they expanded here. So he's the CEO of the America division of the company. So, yeah, he's in Nashville. He's like, I have a truck, like, not really like me, but bought one in Nashville. I'm like, wow, that's so funny. And he's very spiritual. Like, we talk – he's very into self-development. We already started a book club, which also sounds like going way too fast. But it was like playful. Like, basically, he was like, what are you doing? And I sent him a photo. I was like in my bedtime routine as I take an Epsom salt bath and read. And I was reading the book that you told me to read.
Have you liked it?
I've loved it.
It's so good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So I sent him a photo of that book. And I was like, what are you doing? And he sent me a photo of his book. Like, there's just been a lot of interesting – I don't feel the spark like I felt with Van Life Guy, or that I felt with basically both these guys in Nashville. Yeah. I felt sparks with them. But oftentimes people say when you feel like extreme feelings, it's your anxiety. Slash, it's like your inner child and their inner child having a beautiful trauma bond. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that with him. I feel like I like him, but I feel very calm with him. But not like crazy, not like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I'm just like, yeah, he's really nice. And we have like so much in common. So he sent me the book that he was reading. And then we were talking about other books we want to read. And he was like, I don't know if this sounds silly, but like, and he kind of said it facetiously at first, like, should we start a book club? And I was like, what would be our first book? And then and this is so my love language. He sent me a list of like the 40 top new books of 2024. Because he said, would you want nonfiction or fiction? So I like that he asked me questions that like, you know, and I was like, I think nonfiction, because I was reading a fiction. And then he sent me this list of 40 new nonfiction books, and so many of them I was so excited about. So it's like number 14, number 12, number 22. And there was one on love by Anne Lamott, who's one of my favorite, actually our therapist, me and Hannah go to the same therapist. our therapist recommended Anne Lamott to me because she's just a great writer, both on spirituality and on like love and self-love and confidence. So I was like, that's one of my favorite authors. And he was like, okay, let's do that one. But that book doesn't come out till March. So we decided a different book on climate change. And like, I'm
great.
I'm pumped for that. Like, it's so cool to meet someone. And again, who knows where it's going? You. But like, to meet someone who's down to read a book on love or climate change, like, cool. I care about both those topics pretty deeply. So let's go. So we're reading that book.
I freaking love you. I'm so glad y'all reading a book about climate change together. And I feel like that's actually pretty good because like going deep in a love book with like a guy
said he was like, I think this could bring up like good conversation.
Totally.
And I was like, yeah.
But you climate change do, like could conversation too. Cards.
Yeah.
As you can do that.
So he's in Florida right now for like some investor meeting or something. So we were supposed to meet on Friday for the first time, but we were just like, I know I sometimes go fast, but I never like messaged someone like him. Like it's just felt different. I don't know where it's going to go, but he was like, would you want to get dinner tonight? I'm doing his accent. And I was like, yeah. And
so you are getting dinner tonight?
No, so we got dinner Monday night.
We went to Mercado.
And that was the same thing where like I got there at 6. We didn't even look at our phones till 9.
I love that.
I know. And he doesn't drink, which is really amazing. So it was like a sober date, which I loved.
Aww. It sounds like he's a guy, and we've kind of talked about this before, like sometimes you're in the past, you allowed guys in that you knew really weren't your guy, but you're scared of the guys that actually are what you want.
Yeah.
How does this guy kind of...
It scares the shit out of me because he... Because
you actually... He's a type of guy that you would want to be with for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Again, I don't know him well enough to know that, right?
But, like,
I think one mistake that we make in dating is we fill in the gaps with what we... When we just meet someone, we only know what we know about them. And so all of the gaps of what we don't know about them, we tend to romanticize it.
Or we plug in like what we know from the past. It's like, oh, he's like this. Well, then he's going to be this way. We plug
True.
In.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that can either hurt us or make us like in this weird fantasy relationship. And I've definitely been there.
Or for me, I'm like, or count them out completely.
Yeah. You cut them out. Yeah. I dive in. This is, that should be the name of the podcast episode. Like Hannah goes slow, Nora goes fast. And somewhere in the middle would be good, I think. But so I keep just being like, Nora, like, yes, I'm just proud of myself that I'm not diving in it blindly. And I'm just being like, hey, it's cool, but who knows? And I'm just trusting this journey.
I'm so excited.
I am too.
This is fun.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Oh my gosh, so much has happened.
Yeah, a lot has happened.
A British man. I love it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, also, so he like has this CEO job, but he's like, it's been nice, but eventually I'm going to want to do something else. Like,
so what? he's like, don't tell me that he wants to live on a farm.
He wants to buy a house in Italy or Portugal or somewhere in Europe, but we both really love Italy. Like that, we made it really clear. By the way, guys, as you're listening to this, my big dream
is to
have a house in Italy and to buy a pretty big house in Italy so that I can host my retreats. I do like women's leadership retreats and I pay these hotels a lot of freaking money and the profit isn't high. So I'm like, what if I had a house where I could have way more of like my own aesthetic and just bring the profit into the house and rent it out as a wedding venue, as a retreat venue for my own retreats and other people's retreats, like, and just really make that energy of that space special. Because even some hotels, like, the energy is just a little stuffy or, like, you don't feel fully safe. Like, I want it to be just, like, in nature, beautiful, all organic food, no seed oils, like, ugh.
I freaking love you. We're, like, totally different. Like,
yeah, we are different.
Because I'm, like... Do you know how much that's going to cost? Do you really, you're going to have to be there the whole time. You're going to have to find a staff that are they going to speak English. Like, I love it. I like want more of that.
But I think I can do it because now I mean, who knows about this guy again, but.
No, I just met this guy. We're getting married and from probably in Italy. Yeah.
But he said to me, he's like, yeah, my dream is to buy a house somewhere in Europe, probably Italy, and host men's retreats there. That's what he said. And I was like, excuse me? Like,
okay, that's pretty cool.
What's going on?
I don't know, but something good.
Something good.
Yay! Woo! Okay. Thank you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for just like listening to us like have an update.
Yeah, I want to hear your guys' updates. If you can, I don't know. If
so just send some DMs to Enora about your updates.
Honestly, please. That's what I do for a living. I love hearing about people's lives. Or like comment below. I don't know if I can say that. Comment below.
Click on link.
Yeah. And tell us about your love life, genuinely. Like, I'm not just saying that.
But honestly, you totally should. I'm not in the space.
Yeah, Hannah's not a coach.
I'm not a coach. No, I'm like, I'm dealing with a lot of shit, but Nora seems like she's doing great right now. So go ahead and talk to her.
Please do. I can't wait to hear your story and celebrate you.
Oh my gosh. No, I love you. Thank you so much for coming on. This was fun. It was nice to like not have to like prep or worry about what I was going to say and just do this with you.
Hannah and I prepped this morning at 8:30 via voice memo.
And the prep was just, hey, so there's no prep. We're just going to talk, okay? And don't tell me any more about what's going on so we can just talk about it with everyone.
And
so,
I was like, let's just have fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun.
I love you.
I love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. Better Tomorrow is produced by me, Hannah Brown, and Legos Creative. Our producer is Andrew Stalmer. Our show is recorded, engineered, and edited by the Legos Creative team. Remember to follow Better Tomorrow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. And don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps and shows your support. You can follow me on socials at Hannah Brown, and you can stay updated on all things Better Tomorrow on our Instagram at Better Tomorrow and our TikTok Better Tomorrow Podcast.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.